If you would turn with me to the book of Joshua, is where we'll be tonight. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're pretty loud there. Clear? Yeah, we can come down a little bit. Just make sure you're awake tonight. All right. Joshua chapter 1. Find the book of Deuteronomy. Just keep turning until you run right into Joshua. And that will be good. How's everybody doing tonight? Amen. Are you sure? Well, I'm glad you're here. And what a blessing it is. And we are tonight going to continue in our study as we've started out with the introduction a couple weeks ago on the book of Joshua. But tonight we're going to look at verse 1 as we did with Romans. And it's actually quite interesting how there are some real strong similarities between Romans chapter 1 verse 1 and Joshua chapter 1 verse 1. And some of the things that I will allude to tonight about that. But notice what the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Let's pray together. Lord, I am grateful again for the holy word of God tonight. I do pray and trust the Holy Spirit of God to be our teacher, to illumine our hearts and minds to the will of God. And Lord, that you would do a deep work that only you can do. Give us a spirit of revival, Lord. Help us to think eternal. Help us to be mindful, as the song we just sang together, Lord, that you would stamp your own image upon our hearts, that we might learn what it means to bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in our body. And so, Father, again, thank you for the Word of God. We commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's title is rather unique. Preparing for this message, I just asked the Lord what direction He would have us go or emphasize, and I came across a book once. It didn't have this particular verse in it, but it triggered a thought that led me to this message. And the title is this: When You Die, What Would Be Your Epitaph? What would be your epitaph? Now, Webster's dictionary defines epitaph as an inscription on or at a tomb or a grave in memory of one buried there. Also defined as a brief statement commemorating or epitomizing deceased person or something past. And we see those often in a cemetery upon gravestones that folks will put different sayings. Some will put Bible verses. Some will give a specific quote. But there are all kinds of different epitaphs that are out there. But what's interesting is the Bible does have epitaphs that are mentioned specifically in different ones that I will take a glance at a little bit tonight. And this, in our context, is one of them. And the very fact that Moses is now dead, but the title that God gives him, again, going back to what we looked at this morning, and that title is this, and this is Moses' epitaph. It's right there in the Word. Moses, the servant of the Lord. And there is no greater title for the Christian than that right there.
Even I mentioned this morning with Paul, who really in current day could have all kinds of letters following his names with different doctorates and this and that. And you know, those things can have a right place and be appropriate, but at the end of the day, none of those letters matter in light of eternity. What really matters is whether or not you and I are a servant of the Lord. Now, I was just over at Vineyards Creek Baptist Church the other day as we were there for Ms. Beverly Slagle's funeral service. And as we had that service there with the immediate family and we had some time of prayer, I shared some words from Scripture. And just had a time of honoring her life and the blessing that she was to us and our church and so many others, her faithfulness, who is now with the Lord and rejoicing in heaven. And what I did after that is I like history. And so there's a lot of history with Vineyards Creek Baptist Church, similar to Crooked Creek. And it's where Ms. Betty Ford grew up. It's where she would have been saved and baptized. All her family's buried out there. And what really caught my attention is right up there beside the church is a couple big rocks. And there's a place to step up on. And they told me, Brother Tom, I believe, was telling me, that's where the carriage used to pull up for the members to step up on and get into the carriage. So it has a lot of history to it. It goes way back. But I got to looking around at some of the headstones and there in the cemetery is a rather large one that goes back into the mid to even early 1800s and probably even earlier than that, maybe even the late 1700s. But one that caught my eye is an epitaph that said this: "None knew thee but to love thee." I thought that was interesting. That obviously was someone that was very loving and lovable. Had that type of person. But one that really caught my eye the most was actually not at Vineyards Creek. I decided that I would, on my way in, I had passed a New Hope Presbyterian Church sign, and I happened to see the date on it, and it dated back to 1788. And so I thought to myself, boy, when I leave here, I'm going to go by there and look at that church. And I did. I pulled in and went into the cemetery and again, just lots of history there and walked around and looked at the different epitaphs. And one that stood out to me on this one, just, boy, I'd never seen this one before, but what a testimony. It was simply this: "He died as he lived. A Christian." He died as he lived, a Christian. And that is a testimony that I believe that all of us would desire to have. That we would die living for Jesus Christ, serving Jesus Christ, making an impact for Jesus Christ. And there are good and bad epitaphs in the Bible. Now, there are some bad ones, and we're not going to dwell on those tonight, but I am going to reference them. One was, I think about Jeroboam. You remember him as an evil king. There in 1 Kings 22:52, you may already recall what would follow his name in many verses. I'll read 1 Kings 22:52. It says, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." That last phrase there, "made Israel to sin." That was his epitaph. And God forbid that anybody would have an epitaph like that. That you, when you died, your testimony would be that you made many to sin. Or for that matter, made anybody to sin. May God help us not to have that type of one. But I also think of Judas, which I thought was very interesting. The epitaph that he had is, if you'll hold your place there in Joshua, go over to the book of Acts with me. The book of Acts, chapter 1. You can stick your bulletin there or a pen or something and go over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now you'll remember Judas had a bad testimony throughout the scriptures, the gospels, that he was referred to as the one that was the traitor. That was a name that he was given. Boy, nobody wants to die with that testimony. He had the testimony of one who held the bag. He was the treasurer, but he also was known as being greedy. And nobody wants to die being greedy. No one should desire to die that way. And the only way not to is to live with a generous, gracious spirit, seeking to give as much as you can. But that was not Judas. And Peter, in his message, has an interesting statement and epitaph on Judas. Notice with me verse 25. I'll read verse 24. And it says here, "And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." And notice what he goes on to say here in the selection of these apostles. He says, verse 25, "that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell." Notice this next phrase, "that he might go to his own place." That is such an interesting statement that Peter would make. Think about that for a moment. Now, there are probably some different views upon why Peter would state it this way. But I tend to think, from what I have done in my research and reading on this, is that Peter was, in this mentioning of Judas being replaced, I believe Peter was being, I guess we could say, gracious. I mean, Peter could have said he's burning in hell. He could have said he's going to hell and he's going to be tormented forever. And I suppose he could have been more graphic. I suppose that he could have been, but I wonder if Peter was not just being more careful and reverent towards God. Because, folks, let me just say this, and we need to be very careful. And I believe this is a good example. We need to be very careful about taking the place of God as judge. Just because someone perhaps had a certain lifestyle and maybe even had a certain testimony and they die with an apparent testimony without Christ, it would do us good, church, to leave the final judgment up to God Almighty. I don't want to be in that place of taking the place of God. And we know that if a person rejects Christ, that's exactly where a person will go. They will go to a place of torment forever and ever. But when it comes right down to it, God Almighty is the only one that knows the heart. And it has caused me to feel a bit awkward when I have heard statements that people declaring that this person is now, and they say dogmatically, burning and torment and whatnot, which may be the case, but we got to understand that Peter did not do that. That was a little side note. But here's the thing that we do need to understand. He went to his own place. That's something that we need to realize, what is going to be our own place. If that were to be our epitaph, and someone were to put that on our tombstone, he or she has gone or went to his own or to her own place. I can't help but think that when we are living for the Lord, it is important that, number one, we establish a testimony of knowing Him as Savior, but not only that, but living for Him as Master and as Lord, as I mentioned this morning. As a slave of God, I hope that we will allow that phrase from the Word of God to penetrate the very depths of our soul, that I love my Master. I am a slave to Jesus Christ. And that is not what the testimony that Judas had. He betrayed his Master. He betrayed his God. And the epitaph that he has is he went to his own place. And I want to tell you, if it is hell, which is what it appears from Scripture, because of his rejection of Jesus Christ, it's a place that's very lonely. It's a place of darkness. It's a place where there will be no parties and no friends. It will be a place where a person is all alone in complete darkness and complete torment forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that should truly sober and break our hearts to think that the reality of it is biblical. And you know, that indeed is a very sad epitaph. But those are the sad ones. But there are some good ones. There are quite a few good ones of Christians that lived for the Lord and went on to be with Him and left back a good testimony. You know, that is the goal for you and me. And parents and siblings here, as I'm talking to all of us tonight, you know, we really do want to leave behind a good testimony. Not that we were perfect. We all have our flaws and failures. But what we do want to leave behind is a legacy that will grip the hearts of those that we leave behind to follow Christ. That is indeed what we want to live behind. Again, we want to leave behind a legacy that grips the heart of those that know us best, and even those that may not know us, that will lead them closer to Jesus Christ. Is that your desire? Is that my desire? Moses, I believe, left behind a legacy that Joshua was able to grab a hold of. And when our text, when it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Get this. Moses' minister. Same idea. That servant, one who was subservient, the one who was under Moses, who had placed Moses as his master and followed him in the will of God and the plan of God. And that was Moses. And you know, one of the things that God laid on my heart when I read this statement, church, is this. How did Joshua learn to be a servant? It's clear, isn't it? He learned from Moses. The man that he followed, the man he submitted his heart to, the man that he went out to the battlefields and was trusted by this leader, Moses, it was Joshua that learned, and he would go on with that characteristic. Moses left him a legacy. Left him that epitaph that would stick to the heart of Joshua. And Moses' name is mentioned dozens of times in the book of Joshua. And I believe that gives us evidence that this man, Joshua, the servant of God, I tell you, gave respect and honor to this man, even though Moses wasn't able to cross over because he disobeyed the Lord. And he showed forth in anger. He wasn't able to go in. Joshua still had a great amount of respect for him. What does that teach us tonight, church? Let me address dads here for a moment. Let me address you husbands here. And you future dads. And you future husbands. And some of you, it won't be that long, so just keep praying, okay? It'll come. But, men, how is your wife going to learn submission? She's going to learn from you. She's going to learn from you. She's going to learn from your submission to your master, Jesus Christ. And your sweet submission to Him and seeking to walk with Him and to be right with Him and to follow Him, your wife is going to see that, and it will greatly impact her heart. Through that, she will see that you are desiring to love her as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Dads, where are your children going to learn submission? They're going to learn it from you. They're going to watch your life. They're going to watch how you submit to Christ and allow God to transform your heart as you're walking with Him. And yes, they'll learn from Mom too, of course, as she walks with God and has that opportunity to be His helpmeet. There's no doubt in her role as a wife that will be a testimony. But I am just telling you right now, men, it begins with us. And a lot of times, men like to hear this idea of being the leader of the home, which the Bible gives clearly. We are the leaders of the home. But what happens is, they almost look at that as a ruling the house. And there's a difference between ruling in the sense of trying to being lord over people that you are leading, and there's a difference between being a servant leader. And I believe that as we think about it, I wonder if you were, God forbid, to pass, or if I were to pass, what would be the testimony from our wives, or what would be the testimony from our children? Would it be that Dad was a servant of God? Or my husband was a servant. He put God first. And he indeed went out of his way to show forth a spirit of submission to the Holy Spirit. And I just want to encourage this. And you say, some of you men may be thinking, Pastor, why are you getting after us? Because I do believe with all my heart that the example is going to start with the husband. It's going to start with the father. And God created it that way. And so, men, let's let God change our hearts and show forth that example. And I believe in my heart, I'll just speak from my testimony here. You men may have a different testimony, but I can trace it back. Every time when my wife has had a hard time submitting to me, I can trace it back without a doubt to the fact that I stopped being a servant. I stopped being a servant. Having a slave mentality of, I am a slave of Jesus Christ and I love my master. Well, I tell you what, when I've gotten away from that mentality, I kind of act like maybe I'm the king. Serve me. But you know, I'm the man of the house. Cook those meals and do the laundry and do the cleaning. I'm putting food on the table. I'm the provider. You know, the Bible says so much more for the husbands than just to provide. That's just a part of the pie. There's much more, men. I'll stop there. Some of you are look like you're about to need to take some Tums or something. There are some good ones. Moses was a good one. Let me share another one with you. I want to look in the book of Acts again in Acts 13. This one would be the epitaph of David. The epitaph of David. Notice Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I'm going to find a good starting point here. But as we see this truth coming about, and again, this epitaph of how David left, we know with even David's mistakes, God forgave him and cleansed him. And then we come to this message that is being brought forth. And notice David is mentioned all throughout this passage. You can even go back up to verse 22 and on down through the scriptures and verse 34. But I just want to draw your attention to verse 36. It says this, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God." That right there is David's epitaph. You got to underline that. After he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep, he died, was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. And the point of the text here is the fact that he, in verse 37, "But he whom God raised again saw no corruption," speaking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And but the point of the matter here is we see a testimony that God wanted to leave, an epitaph for David, that he was a servant to his own generation by the will of God. And what a great one for every one of us to have here. This is your generation, brethren. Your generation that is still here. You still have an impact. You still have a voice. You are still a vessel for God in a time such as this, no matter what age group you're in tonight, whether you are in first grade, I'm talking to, we got some young ones here tonight, or whether you are up in your golden years of retirement or whatever it may be, may this be the testimony that you have when you leave this world to go to your home, that he or she served his or her own generation by the will of God. What I want to do, I want to serve this generation. I want to serve this local church. I want to serve you. I want to serve South Jackson. I want to serve Athens. I want to serve Banks County and Barrow County. I do. I want to serve. I want to make an impact on this generation, however God will allow us as we walk forward by faith. And may we realize that that too can be our testimony. And then notice with me some more good epitaphs. Would you go over to Hebrews chapter 11? Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but we have a lot of good epitaphs in this chapter. Notice with me, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to preach through this chapter at some point. But just let's take a glance for a few moments. Notice first in verse 4, and this chapter is known as the Hall of Faith. But we see here, verse number 4, look at this testimony on Abel. He says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous,
God testifying of his gifts. God witnessed what Abel gave. Notice that next phrase. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. That's a good one. If somebody comes up to the cemetery and sees that, and of course, you know, anybody can lie and put something that's not true on a tombstone, but let's just assume it is true, that there's a validity to the epitaph. But imagine that. Evidently, somebody that's got that said about them, being dead yet speaketh, meaning they had a life that was invested in eternity. A life that was invested in the people around them. And we see that it was not a self-focus, but their life goes on to speak. When I think about that, I think of people like that have gone on before me. I think of my dad, Brent Jennings, who I just mentioned Wednesday night. The 13th anniversary of his death was on February the 10th. And his life still speaks through me. The things that he taught me and the good things that he invested in me. And of course there were bad things, but I try to forget those. And I hope my kids will forget about my bad things. Amen. But nevertheless, I think about people like Elizabeth Archer. And I think about people like Jamie Harris, who had a life consecrated and separated unto God. And their life right now, even though their bodies are in the grave and their spirit is with Christ Jesus, their life goes on speaking. I hope my life will go on speaking when I leave here, speaking of Jesus, speaking of His marvelous grace and mercy, speaking of His power that is available to those that will surrender to Him and submit to Him. That is my prayer. I think of on down, and again, I'm not going to go through all these, but look at the next one in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. How would you like to have that epitaph? Brother Mike, I got to thinking about this earlier. That could be reality because if the rapture takes place, there may be some people around us that knew us that were not born again and said they have left us and we can't find them. Some of you that already have a stone that's marked on your birth and it's ready for you when you do pass, but if the rapture takes place, somebody might just write on the other side, and they were not found. Because that's exactly what that is a picture of, a type of. The rapture. He was translated out of here. He didn't see death. Boy, what an epitaph that is indeed. He had a birth date, but he did not have a death date. And my friends, I'm telling you tonight, it could be tonight. Wouldn't that be great? Well, Caleb Hardy taught a good lesson this morning from 2 Peter in our Sunday school class and talked about how we can be earnestly looking into the day of the Lord. That's talking about the judgments that were coming, but then hastening the day of the Lord. That word hastening there is actually God implying that we can have a part in the coming of the Lord through our prayers, through our influence on people's lives, through the gospel. And I believe that's why the Apostle John at the end and saying, the Lord, when the Lord Jesus says, I come quickly, John piped up and said, even so, Lord, come. You see, I want to be ready. We want to leave behind a testimony, a life that made an impact. Because if the rapture were to take place tonight and somebody were around you, maybe when they went through your belongings, maybe when they went through your Bible, you ever thought about that? You ever thought about maybe having your Bible underlined and
maybe some notes for somebody that'll be reading your Bible if the rapture were to take place. This person, they would have to identify as not found. But your testimony, your epitaph can make a difference.
I must move quickly here. There's Noah, there's Abraham, there's Sarah. And verse 13, notice what it says here in chapter 11. It talks about, it goes through and talks about all these different ones. And it says here, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That verse 13 could also be an epitaph. That would be a long one. But think about that right there. Just simply, he or she died in faith. They did not see the promise. They did not receive the promise. But they believed it was coming. They embraced it. They confessed it. That they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Notice with me verse 39, this group of believers here did not receive the limelight. They did not receive as much attention, I should say, as perhaps some of the others did, such as Noah and Enoch and Abel and Abraham and Sarah and even Moses and Joseph and Jacob and Isaac and others. But notice this group that lived for God. Notice their epitaph. It says in verse 39. It says, and these are people that in verse 37 had been stoned. They had been sawed asunder. They had been sawed up. They were ever tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute. They were afflicted. They were tormented. What is their epitaph? It says in verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, even though they had not received the promise, okay, of the coming, but indeed they were able to be blessed of God, and they obtained a good report through faith, and that is faith in God Almighty. I tell you, those things right here, I don't know if we'll ever go through. I don't wish it on anybody. I hope we don't have to go through those things. But you know what breaks my heart tonight is when I think about believers who have gone through some hard times. They've been done wrong. They've been offended. Maybe they've just gone through the fire. Maybe some physical affliction. And I want to tell you what they've done. They have totally abandoned ship. You won't see them in church. You won't see them reading their Bible. You won't see them praying. These are people that I believe know the Lord. I believe there are people like that. And they're miserable. And their epitaph is not going to be of a obtained a good report. And I hate to say this, and I want to say it humbly, and I don't think we would ever see this written on a tombstone. But if we were honest, we would have to write something like this. They died saved, but they died defeated. And brethren, we can't die defeated. Born again, blood-bought children of God, we cannot give up. We press forward. When we fall, we get back up. When our marriages struggle, we get reconciled and get back together. We pick back up where we left off and we keep moving forward. As a church, we go through hard times. We go through testing, but we do not stop. We just walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We're going to follow the Lord. Whatever may come, may come. So back to our passage in closing prayer. In Joshua chapter 1,
I just want us to think about this tonight in light of this morning's message as well.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. You see, those that have gone on before us and have a sweet epitaph and have left a legacy, you know what? You know what it's telling us to do? It's telling us to get up and go. Get up and go. And that's what I guess I could just close with. Is your epitaph going to provoke, or should I say encourage or inspire people to get up and go after you're gone? I want mine to. And I hope you do. So as we think about Joshua, the writer of this book, we're going to dive into, may we first remember the man that inspired him. The man that set the example to him. The servant of the Lord, Moses. Would you pray with me? Lord, I am praying that the message tonight honored you. I pray that it helps us to think of what we're investing in, how we're living, the impact we're making. Lord, I pray that we would all think about a possible epitaph for our own life, not for us to write, but that someone else could write. Lord, help us in this. And Lord, I pray that you would bless now in this time of invitation as the instruments begin to play.